Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Almost Famous Minute, where we're discussing the 2000 Cameron Crowe film Almost Famous, 1 minute at a time. I'm Eric Nash from Watchmen Minute.
I'm Tierney Steele, and I was promised I could talk about Keith Moon Minute.
I'm Travis Bowe from Watchmen Minute.
All right. Great to have you back, Travis.
Last time for you
as a guest this week. And I think it's last time for Tierney as with her 2 week stay as co-host.
I have started to smell, as Ben Franklin would say, and it's time for me to hit the road.
Oh, wow. We'll just stay for a few minutes and we can talk about this last minute here.
Got it.
Please. So this is minute 12 here on Friday. And it starts with William touching various album covers with his fingers. And ends with William seeing his entire future.
Okay. We have to start album by album. I will contain myself. Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah, before we get into like each of these records, the creepy handling of the records really stood out to me this time through, because I just listened to an episode of Empire Records Minute earlier today. And they talk about the moment at the beginning where Liv Tyler's character caresses her Rex Manning record, and then Renee Zellweger's character like yanks it out of her hand. She starts like making out with it and licking the album cover. So then to go back to this and just see the way he's like just has this odd.
Not poor William's fault that Liv Taylor and Renee Zellweger did that.
Well, for
William, is it the Joni Mitchell cover?
It's that, yeah.
The most. It's this other gender with our thing in our culture.
Well, no, it's the Cream album. Like he's rubbing his finger over that, which I kind of get because that looks like it has like almost like a metallic sheen to it. So maybe that's what he's. But I don't know. It's just all of them, yeah. Then the Joni Mitchell.
This is a pure love that will not be sullied by Rex Manning. As good as that movie is.
Freaking Rex Manning Day.
That's everything. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I had any Cream albums.
All I have is the their best of on CD.
Yeah. I mean, I've got plenty of their songs and... Yeah. Everyone who was in it, but not. I mean, I definitely don't have that. And what's the next? Sorry, I just clicked out of it, which is silly.
Blue by Joni Mitchell.
Okay, which I only know of because of Love Actually.
From what?
Isn't that Joni Mitchell? She taught your Love Actually. That's what she wants for. That's what she's listening to. Yeah, Joni Mitchell taught your cold English wife how to love.
I know there's another movie where that's brought up a ton, but I thought it was the Kids Are Alright. Have you seen that?
I haven't. It might be that, but it's definitely because she's listening to Both Sides now. Mm-hmm. When she starts crying, spoilers for Love Actually, I guess. but yeah, that's what I know it from.
That's another album that breaks the time stream for this one. It comes out in June of 1971. But we can forgive that.
It looks like Hendrix is behind Joni Mitchell, doesn't it? Because it then cuts when he puts down Blue back to William. And then it goes back and it's Bob Dylan. But look at that little red corner sticking out from behind Joni Mitchell.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I think it's out of order.
We're missing some albums. Yeah. Which that could be the ones I was talking about yesterday. Maybe.
I think that red album that's behind, I think that's the Jimi Hendrix album.
Yeah.
So there's some pretty crazy editing going on.
Yeah, it's definitely the Jimi Hendrix one.
Fair enough. You know, let the editor do their job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never noticed that before.
Plot hole.
I'm done with this podcast.
That's exactly what that term means.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so we've mentioned the Bob Dylan album, so that's Blonde on Blonde, which is I'm positive I said about in Watchmen Minute at one point was really my big one that I found first and I still love the most, I think.
What's the Michelle Pfeiffer movie where she's a teacher and the other English teacher says his favorite poet is Dylan, and then he starts quoting Bob, and she realizes he means Bob Dylan. Oh, why can't I think
Thomas Dylan?
Yeah, it's all
Not the poet.
Yeah, she thought he was talking about the poet, and then she realizes he means Bob Dylan, and that's what gives her the idea to teach the kids that like music is poetry. But it's all blurring together in like 90s movies mishmash in my brain. I can't pick it out. It's the one with the Coolio song.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Dangerous Minds.
Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You've saved me, sir.
I would have jumped in sooner. I didn't realize you were struggling with the title of the, with the name.
Which one's, and it's not Easy Chair, but Easy Chair is my favorite Dylan song, so I'm not a traditionalist.
So the final album that we find has this note in it is Tommy's The Who.
Yeah.
And between you know, the Jimi Hendrix album, you know, and Led Zeppelin too, and then Pet Sounds in this. This is pretty high up there for me.
Yeah,
this is a CD, double CD that my dad had that I listened to a lot in some of my most formative years, middle school, early high school.
Mm. We had, at one point, there were more copies of Tommy's The Who, or The Who's Tommy. Blah. At one point, there were more copies of Tommy in the house than there were people.
Wow.
Because we just kept burning more copies for various, I left it at college. Can you just make me another one for winter break? And because my dad would never get rid of the LP, so even though we have the CD now. Yeah.
So, well, I was going to say, like, if you'd asked me to, like, where on that list of the four groups that you had me rank, on our first minute, The Who would go above Led Zeppelin for me. Wow. I really like The Who. But like this specific album, you know, I remember listening to Tommy, and there's definitely a few songs I like on it, but I feel like it feels like a soundtrack to a movie that I haven't seen.
Yeah, right.
And which I know it is, you know, but it doesn't feel like a music album you can just listen to. It feels like it's meant to go along with the movie, which when I have no context for, it really doesn't, for me, doesn't work as a standalone album that I can just enjoy. So I probably just need to watch the movie and then I'll appreciate the music more.
You won't. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Okay. I hated it.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The casting is brilliant, but when you said like, oh, I have no context for it, I'm like, And then you become a middle schooler and learn the context for certain songs. And then you hate those songs and can never, ever, ever listen to them again. Thanks. Okay. I'm just going to skip that forever, Uncle.
Yeah, for me, I think Quadrophenia and The Kids Are All Right are my favorites. Who's Next is, you know, a fantastic album. So I kind of wondered with it being Tommy, like, it seems like a Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon might be your stereotypical, like, if the sister is introducing the brother to something that, you know, in her words, it'll set you free. If that sort of experience that she's trying to introduce him to, you know, I would have, you know, figured it'd be, like I said, a Dark Side of the Moon. So I wondered if it was, if Tommy was a specific album to Cameron Crowe, like, and that's why it's here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're making this movie and it's not really autobiographical, like, maybe it's you just default to a Dark Side of the Moon, or.
But then I would say for that, it's, I think I kind of feel like Pink Floyd might be even tougher to get than Led Zeppelin, at least for Cameron Crowe. Cameron Crowe, he had this experience with Led Zeppelin. That's the reason for the four bands that we lit, that I list, that you rank, is because he was at least partial tour with them.
Okay.
You know, and in the earliest roughly year or two maybe of him becoming a journalist in his teens, at that very young age.
Yeah.
So that's why those four, I think, and with Pink Floyd, it's just too far out there. It's too. You know, for Dark Side of the Moon, I mean, that's 73 itself, you know.
Oh, is it 73?
That's too much breaking of this, even though we've had these other albums that are into the 70, 71-ish area. Yeah. Well, but the one that he ends up getting this note from his sister to play, you know, and it's on its side, too. It's not, you know, facing straight up. So I think that's why I think she purposely placed it that way, put the note in it. And
to draw attention to it.
Yeah. To get him to hopefully listen to first.
Mm. Okay. So I kind of wondered, are there notes in all of the records with instructions on how best to experience them?
Like, I can see an older sister being like that.
Yeah, I kind of hope really that's
going all out.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of hope when he opens up the Bob Dylan, it's like, okay, you know, listen to this one this way after you've had a heartbreak, or listen to this one after, you know, this such, you know, whatever. Mm. So, Because it makes sense that it's sideways and that's what would draw him to open it. Because I kind of wondered, like, what guarantee is there that he'll find this note, you know, before listening to any of the others. But that makes sense. And I kind of like that they all have notes and this is just the one that he's going to experience first.
This is the one on its side. I guess I should probably tell you why I asked for these minutes, because and I think part of also the decision is it's this artwork when he opens it up. So we watched this movie came out, this movie hit DVD. We watched this movie. And the first thing my entire family, again, that had more copies of Tommy than people in the house said was, Sparks isn't the first song on the track, which I do love when they cut to the record. It shows he's putting it on the freaking track. And there was great debate amongst us, you know, listen to Tommy with a candle burning and you will see your entire future. And we're like, it doesn't start with Sparks. I could see if it started with Sparks. And I shouldn't say the entire family. This was me and my dad having this debate with our friends. My sister, like I said, is 7 years younger than me. So it's a big enough age gap. And we decided the time had come for Elaine to become into cool music. And she had definitely heard lots of, like I said, we grew up listening to the oldies, classic rock stations. This was a whole thing. In fact, one of her favorite songs as like a in the car seat kid was Another Brick in the Wall. Because she loved the screaming, wrong, do it again. And so, yeah, I mean, she was like a toddler quoting, like, I can't eat my meat or whatever, you know, So she was aware of it, but she wasn't into it. She was a kid, you know? She's wearing a Neopets shirt and running around the house in glitter. And so I, being the cool older sister, and I had the teen room upstairs in the now finished attic, and I said, come into my room, sit on my inflatable chair. I will turn off the lights, except for my Christmas lights that I had strung all over the ceiling. And we will listen to Dark Side of the Moon. That's what I decided was going to be the first album that I played for her. So I get Dark Side of, and it was CD, not vinyl. So I put on Dark Side of the Moon. And then I don't remember what happened, but I was like, I'll be right back. Maybe like the dog started barking or something, but I was like, I'll be right back. I run down and I was not gone long. I mean, Speak to Me was still just starting. It was,
Yeah.
But she had this look on her face and she was actually crying. Apparently, as soon as I left the room and it started, one of the Christmas bulbs started flickering in time with the heartbeat. And she flipped out and said she would never be in my room again. And she was terrified. Pink Floyd must be the scariest thing in the world. She hates all music, like whatever. She became the biggest Pink Floyd fan in the world. She went to school as a music performance major. I mean, she is amazing. She has played in Carnegie Hall. She has played all over the place. She ran a music and art store, and it was just like, you're welcome. Sorry for traumatizing you.
Remember when you were scared of Pink Floyd?
Well, my dad said, like, one of the weird things is it probably did kind of imprint on her of, like, she had the experience of sitting in that room alone and scared, but Pink Floyd was starting to play. And, like, it kind of, it's weird. I'm, like, gripping my hands. I'm, like, it seeped into her. And what's really funny is I'm not even that big a Pink Floyd fan. Like, I'm really not. Like, they're they're fine. I have songs that I love, but I was just like, that's the album you should start with. And so the fact that you were just like, yeah, you'd think she'd use Dark Side of the Moon. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Also, just as a follow-up, when she was in high school, Hot Topic got the licensing or whatever. Like, there was suddenly Pink Floyd stuff everywhere. She had Pink Floyd flip-flops that we called her Floyd Flops. And that was just a delightful year and a half or however long she had them for me. But yeah, that's why I asked for this week. I was just like, no, you don't understand. I actually did this to someone. I looked at my sister and I said, we're going to make you cool now. Come with me.
That's awesome.
It was so, and then she got really into it. It was so much fun. Like having parents and siblings and my dad's, siblings, one of his sisters was in a band and her kids cut a CD at one point. And it was just like, it just all like circled around you. Like it was just in the air, this sort of thing.
See, I have a sister who's 4 years older. And so the music she would play, you know, if I happened to be in her room, like she would, you know, play, New Kids on the Block, stuff like that. And, you know, Debbie Gibson. Like, Debbie Gibson, it was my first love because she had the cassette with her picture on it. And that was like, I was probably.
Make out with it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's why you really feel uncomfortable. You're just projecting.
Right.
So the only other thing I'd want to say about Tommy for me is from a personal nature, it's just, you know, as I said, I mean, it's just kind of the one that, I was most out of all of these that I was most familiar with as a kid, as earliest on. And I just really, you know, with your point, your take on it, Travis, you know, for me, I mean, I really pored over the lyrics that were inside the CD liner, you know, notes.
Oh, sure.
You know, and so I got the story. I had a take on it, you know, without having seen the movie at that point, that's for sure. And, you know, I got past some of that icky stuff.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, I mean, they're, you know, their lyrics, their songs, you know, it's not something that's really happened. Well, I mean, it has really happened is the unfortunate thing that I certainly know now.
You understand they're telling a story.
Yes. Like, oh, yeah.
They're building to something with this.
Oh, yeah. But the use of sparks for this is, I mean, because that was something definitely a track that I was drawn to, and I really loved the way it sounded, and it's the way William here stands, you know, it's kind of a special thing there. I think that Cameron Crowe just remembers, just like, what is this?
Almost a little this, yes, exactly.
This is taken aback, you know. And I think that's kind of what I had, you know, especially listening like on headphones that my dad had, you know, the big over the ear old style headphones back then.
The air traffic controller. Oh,
God, yeah. You never forget your first pair of headphones, do you?
he puts the record on, and then the biggest thing you can see is the Decca label.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, well, and actually, you already said what the note said. The other thing there is that there is the packet of matches sitting right there in the cover too,
which is terrible for the record. Thank God he opened his bag right away.
Yeah, a thick book of matches like that, and we see him using that as well. But I was saying the word Decca is there. That's the big recording label.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I love the visual storytelling here with the think the way we see the Decca, it's rotating, you know, this album is spinning, and then we see that like repeated a few times, and then it's
faded
point,
over each other,
yeah, and then
crossfades
towards the end, then you get William is like also faded in into one of these layers, and I think storytelling method of showing him listening to this. It just, I feel like maybe, and I don't remember what comes next, like after this set of minutes. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've watched the movie. So I don't remember. Does this transition into him being grown up or 15 years old?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, because it's showing his notebook.
And I thought it did.
After 5 years of listening to this music and finding more, and especially like, I mean, the other thing besides his name you can see here is like second four with 4 seconds left, so 56 seconds in, Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, it was written. And that's an important part, I think, of what's coming up as well. That's...
Whoa.
There's something going on there with that being the one band we can see at least this far in to this next scene.
I could see if this transition doesn't do it for you.
I think I would, and maybe I'm just thinking stereotypically or what's been done maybe too many times, but I could almost prefer maybe like you show him listening to it and maybe it starts to, you know, like you said, he might look a little like, well, what is this? But maybe you start to zoom in on his face slowly and maybe go into his eyes, and then you pull out and it's adult, or not adult, but Patrick Fugit, you know, maybe it's just something like that, some other transition into him aging and still listening to this music or some music. And you can tell like he's filled those few years, those 4 years has been filled with listening to this music that his sister left him.
You know, it's too bad because I love the image of him smiling at the candle, which just, you know, again, dear listeners, this doesn't work. I mean, not that I have sacrificed many candles trying to do this, but it doesn't work. Just a heads up. But I would be willing to lose that little smile if what they did was they stayed on the close-up of the record player and you heard him striking the match and lighting the candle. Mm. And then it like faded or transitioned or something to the 73 stuff.
I think it's, for me, I think it's just the overlapping of the multiple spinning Who albums. You know, just visually, it just doesn't do anything for me. I do like him lighting the candle and stuff. I think you easily could keep that, but.
It seems to me like, what Cameron Crowe, I guess maybe you're, and the unnamed editor that I'll look into here shortly. It's just this kind of trying to invoke some kind of psychedelic experience.
Yeah.
But for what we know for the whole movie is the drug thing throughout the movie, that it's really not there. So it's I think it's saying, you can have these psychedelic experiences without drugs just by listening to music.
Oh God. Yeah. Yes.
I have time traveled listening to, Radiohead's, Paranoid Android. Is that the album name or is that the song?
No, it's a song on OK Computer.
Okay. Thank you. OK Computer. I have like lost time listening to that album in one sitting and just kind of zoned out and not, and lost track of like where I was, which, I mean, this was years ago and I was at work, so I definitely didn't get anything done for that hour plus, however long that album is. But yeah, I've been transfixed by my music like that. So,
The only other thing I'd like to mention with, the visual nature of the, of him putting the record on and moving the tone arm over. And it does zoom in on this. I think it's like kind of like a knob at the end of the tone arm. This S&P that are there. I guess that's that's for the short play setting. Thinking. And on the other side, on the multiple other sides, there's your EP and your LP and so forth. I think maybe.
Well,
but it'd be great if someone. One of our listeners is more aware of that kind of stuff. I did try to figure it out a little bit online, but not much.
Well, isn't that on the? Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
because the other big part of playing the records with your different types of length plays is actually the revolutions.
Yeah.
Setting that's
so
not
this has
on the arm.
Switch
so
is actually
just weird
on that arm. That's
interesting.
Maybe
that's what I assumed it was.
Or if it's a different type of needle, but. Multiple needles that pop in up and down, maybe. Ooh. So yeah, if neither of you are too aware, then I'm definitely looking towards the listeners.
Yeah, I don't
to help out a little.
Yeah, I just assumed, and in my brain, because I was a child of the VHS, I'm like, oh yeah, slow play. We're super long play. I'm like, wait, no, that's not the same.
See, when I was probably about William's age here, and I was playing with the family, record player, which was in this cabinet. It's like had the record player was on top with a glass lid that lifted, up or whatever, and then underneath that it had like a cassette deck, and then maybe something else at the bottom held all the all the records, and this thing never got used. Like my parents just never played these albums. So I mean, I could vaguely remember some of the albums that they had. So I'd love to, those are long since gone. But when I was playing with this record player, I pulled the needle out, like completely plucked it right out of the tuning arm,
tone arm.
So it rendered the whole thing basically useless, but again, this thing never got used, so I don't even think it went noticed. But
oh God, one of the first things of video of me ever is I just learned to like stand on my own, and I was doing that bopping thing where it's like, look, she's dancing, but like I'm really just kind of like slightly bending my knees and not falling over. And it's my dad putting on Hart's Barracuda to try and get me to do that for the video camera.
Nice.
That my uncle had brought over. Yeah, I remember, God, that was my first thing that I was obsessed with science, was learning how records were. I remember it being a very serious thing of like learning how to clean the record with the little brush to spin it, and that you never touch. And that's why I liked CDs, because I could hold them and my hands weren't big enough to hold the records, like by putting one hand on the label and the thumb on the side. But I remember getting a lesson cleaning it, and then my dad explaining how the bumps worked and how that was changing to sound, and just being like absolutely fascinated by that.
Yeah.
Again, the poor kids these days have no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, is there anything else for this minute, you guys? You think?
We have to leave. The music is so good.
On the notebook itself, I feel like we see the letters that will spell out Lester Bangs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like, if that's something, is that a name that he would know at this point?
Yeah.
You know, because it's Les B.A.
Well, at the point of 5 years from now.
Well, yeah. Not young William,
it
but.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Teenage William
is
reading him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I got to go back to suicide is painless, don't I?
Oh, yeah. Well, and those are my requested minutes for your show.
I love MASH. I'm teasing, and it's funny because 73 we're connected. That's when the 72 is when the show started, but it would have been on. William could have been watching MASH.
Yeah. Okay, so and last week I think we talked a little bit with Tierney about her history. We've heard even more, I think, this week with her too. why she requested some of these minutes here. But Travis, what's your history with the movie? I think you've given little hints.
I don't have an extensive history with Almost Famous. For some reason, I must have seen maybe from the middle or the second act on until the end of the movie. I definitely remember, big scenes that are still to come from the movie. So I've seen parts of it, but these minutes, were definitely new territory for me, and I had all mapped out this weekend that I was going to set aside, 2 hours to watch the movie. And then that 2 hour window kept getting shoved aside for other, activities this weekend. So, I didn't have a chance to properly watch the movie. These minutes have left me wanting more. So I definitely, I'm really curious about what came before this 10 minute mark that we started with, cause I can kind of guess what the family dynamic is with, the three characters we have in these minutes. And, for some reason I just never saw the first part of the movie. So I think I'm going to definitely check it out, and it should work out perfectly. I can watch the movie, got a little time before you start releasing these episodes. So all right, I'll be ready to go once, once the minutes start dropping, I'll be an Almost Famous expert.
Yeah. That's great to hear that. You're more interested.
In
seeing it.
But we'll never be as expert as you.
Okay. Right.
Great, thank you. So this is the end of this fourth week here. We've had the 2 weeks with Tierney and one with Travis, and I think we will probably be having Tierney back a little bit. Hey Travis, if you're up for it at that point, it'll be some point after, maybe.
Yeah,
you can get
yeah.
back in if you're up for it.
Yeah, if you ever need me, just let me know.
We'll get you refreshed. We'll get the band back together.
Yeah.
So this was minute 12, and so great to have both of them on, Tierney and Travis. And we'll be back next week, minute 13. Oh, and the one other thing, similar to what we did for Watchmen, I do want to give the big shout out to the godfathers of the movies by minutes formats, Pete and Alex, with their Star Wars Minute, and check out moviesbyminute.com. And just a little plug of my own, in case you're not aware, for on Twitter, we have our handle at Almost Famous Min. And we also have our Facebook page, of course, Almost Famous Minute. Watch facebook.com/AlmostFamousMinute. And our group there is the Band-Aids listener group. Next week, Monday, we'll be back with Minute 13. Until then, it's all happening.
It's all happening.
I am a golden god! Yeah! Yes, yeah!
And I was born in the backseat of a Greyhound bus, rolling down Highway 41.
You know the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.